Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
To the Magic Sponge podcast. I'm Rob
Beckett.
Magic Sponge podcast. I'm Rob Beckett alongside me. That's Ian Smith.
Hello, mate.
And our guest this week. I mean, we should basically, Jimmy Bullard's not here. So Kevin Gallen's here, obviously. I was going to do a big intro, but it's just a given, isn't it?
Kevin's better than
Thanks for coming, Kevin Gallen. Better than Jimmy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's way better than Jimmy. He's a nice man.
We've got Kevin Gallen, star of Magic Sponge. I think your career on the media with Magic Sponge is almost overtaking your goal scoring for QPR at this point.
I don't think so, Robert.
Genuinely, don't always a pleasure to see you, Kevin Gallen.
Thank you, Robert.
You always make me smart and you're very funny and it's good to be here. So thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
And you're going to help us interview and grill Clinton Morrison, ex Palace striker.
Too many clubs to mention.
Ireland international.
I don't know how that came up.
I do know. I swear down, I don't know either, bro.
I do, bro. That's how I talk, bro. Yeah. I think I had a get.
I'm Irish, I said to him,
you better put me in there. You're going to be in trouble when they put me in there.
Remember that.
I'm Irish, innit? Yeah. Nah, I had a Guinness once. I think we went out away for the weekend. I had a Guinness and that was it. The rest is history. I'm in.
So, what route was it? Was it a grandparent?
Yeah, it was through my grandma. So, okay, fair enough. That's how I did it. But I tell other stories. It could be.
It's fun, innit?
Why didn't you? Because you could have played for, was it Jamaica or Trinidad?
You know what? This is what makes me laugh. I've got no Trinidadian in me whatsoever. I could have played for them, but I can understand the Jamaica bit, but wasn't for me Jamaica. I used to hear stories about it, and Mick McCarthy kind of sold it to me about how good it was with Ireland. But what I do remember is when we did play against Jamaica, you know what the Jamaicans are like? I was playing on the pitch and they were saying, Clinton, you're a sellout. You sold out the country. I was like, yeah, but I was born in England. So really and truly, I should have sold out England, but I didn't. I went and played for Ireland because I felt Irish as soon as I met him.
I played for England under 21s. My first game was Ireland.
Yeah.
Right? And my parents are Irish. And my two brothers played for Ireland under 21s.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Well. You talk about the sellout. I had kids in the crowd when I went to get a throw in when I was warming up. You fucking bastard.
Yeah.
Well,
is it Welsh fans?
No.
Sorry, Gavin.
I was a sellout. I had my uncle in the crowd. Well, the nationality had an Irish scarf on. I'm like, this ain't going well. I've got absolutely cleaned out.
Have you got your free mattress yet, Ian?
No, I haven't got my free mattress
sponsored
yet.
By a mattress company, this podcast. You need a mattress?
I need a mattress.
Get at least a mattress with the code MagicSponge80.
If you type MagicSponge80 into the, you go lease a mattress.
You get a fiver off.
It's lesa.co.uk / Magic Sponge, and then Magic Sponge 80, you get £80 off a mattress. Right. Kevin, thanks for coming on. But why, do we know why Jimmy's not here? Why is Jimmy not here?
Not happy.
Relegated? Just relegation. Sad because he's getting relegated?
Sacked.
Will he listen back?
I got too much stories on Jim on a night out. So that's why he's not here. He was a bit worried about how he behaves. Jimmy, that's why he went here. I've got too much stories about him on a night out.
Oh, really? Have you been out with Jimmy then?
Well, we were in a club together. There's one club in particular. Everyone used to go to it when you were younger. We'd go to Embassy Nightclub in London, London. So we were in there, and as you do, you're down the bottom, and all footballers, you get together and you're having a talk and stuff. I could see a lot of commotion coming down the stairs, yeah? So obviously, it's Jimmy Bullard, and he's all over the place. But what Jimmy does do, he jumps, like, slides down the stairs, jumps two-footed, and just jumps two-footed into all of us, and actually rugby tackles all of us. And that was Jimmy Bullard. That is how he says hello to all of us.
Yeah, he does
that's
love,
what type of guy he is.
He loves two-footing.
All right, two-footed everyone. He just two-footed everyone. He's saying two-footed. He just two-footed everyone and jumped in the middle of the crowd, but... He's a great guy. He's a good guy. He's one of the
best.
Have
you got any other stories? You're not played with him, have you?
I haven't played with him, but I've always played against him. He was just pure comedian on the pitch.
But really? Even on the pitch as well?
Comedian. He would do stuff like, you'd be walking and say like someone's got a bit along it, just pull the hair right back and then he'll go and he'll have a laugh. It was just one of those funny guys who you just want to be on the pitch with. I'd love to have played with him because his stories would probably be amazing.
The first two episodes of this, we've got national news stories. Rowan Ricketts made the Sun for saying that it was a match that got fixed, and then Stacks episode, he's been in about Jermaine Pennant being pissed and then scoring a hat trick, but also made it in the papers that Martin Keown needs loads of reassurance after games. Newspapers like Jermaine Pennant like goes out on a massive bender, then scores a hat trick the next day. In other news, Martin Keown's quite sort of got a lot of self doubt and needs a bit of reassurance.
That's what Stacky said.
So Stacky's some guy.
Pennant
did. I was reading that damn. He either played pissed or he's got, you know, the electronic tag. I played with him when he came out of prison, and I was like, how are you going to play with that?
He's got a tag on.
He had an electronic tag when he came out.
The police officer was tracking him going like, he's running up and down the wing today.
And I asked him, what's it like? And he said he had the best five-a-side team in the jail. I said, fair play to you.
What was Stacky like? Did you play with Stacky in Ireland then?
Yeah, a few times he came into the first team squad and they rimmed with me. I was like, Stacky, behave yourself tonight. So we get to about half 10. But with the Ireland squad, you're always trying to sneak out. Yeah. But I said, Stacky, now we got training tomorrow. He's like, no, let's go out, Clint. So he's there. He's like, let's go. I said, there's a security man that end. He's like, guess what he tries to do? He says,
prison.
Nah. Yeah, he's like, prison. Yeah. Next thing you know, he goes, look, it's not too high. Let's get out the window. And he was ready to dive out the window and go down. But the guy was a full-on character. He was just wanted to go out, have a drink and just have a good time. But he just enjoyed life. But I said to him, I can't jump out of that window, mate. I'll get injured. He said, it's all right for you. You're not playing. And he started laughing.
What floor were you on?
It was on the second floor, so we weren't too high up, but it was still a bit of a jump.
Enough,
And he's just desperate. He's like, come on, I'm ready, Clint. I'm ready. Nothing came of it.
It's amazing.
We're doing a chant, aren't we, Ian? You're going to write a chant for Clint.
Oh, yeah. And he's a pen.
Did you have any chants when you played?
Chance. It was just Clinton and Morrison. There was loads of them, Clinton and Morrison. That was mostly the Palace fans, and it just went on to the Birmingham fans. Coventry. It was a bit
Clinton
basic.
O. Morrison.
Yeah, well, yeah, Clinton O. Morrison. That's what they like to
be sure,
say.
To be sure,
yeah.
And Kevin Gallen, your chant, you had Kevin Gallen's magic. He wears magic out. He plays for Queen Park Rangers, and he's a lovely chap.
Yeah.
So is that your song?
Yeah, that's a proper song.
He scores with left foot, scores with right, and when we play Chelsea, he'll score all fucking night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Lovely.
Any other ones? That's a good
shot. Wanker.
Nah. You was with Roy Keane at Ireland.
Yeah, I was.
How was that?
This is when it gets good. Come on. Yeah. Come on, we must have
loads. He's a head case. He surely has. I think he's got about a few demons in them heads, for sure. I remember going first into the Ireland squad, and this is different. This is an Ireland squad. He used to sit there, and you look up to a player like Roy Keane. But none of the lads, there would be a seat next to him. None of the lads would really. So me being the flash wide boy, I was coming in, just thought, I'm going to go and sit there. And he didn't used to talk. So I was like, oh, how's Man United? And it'd be like one or two word answers. I'm thinking, oh, this is a struggle. No wonder why the lads are. Then I watched the way he eats. So he'd always eat his fruit before he'd eat his main course. So I was thinking, well, if it's good enough for Roy, I'm going to start doing it. So I started doing it. And I was thinking that might get me at Man United. But obviously it didn't get me at Man United. But he was one of those where when you were training, you never wanted to be on his team. We had players like Damien Duff, Robbie Keane, two of the best ever for Ireland. And Duff would go to Mick McCarthy and say, I don't want to be on his team, because it just used to make you feel that small when if you give the ball away and he'd shout at you and he'd bollock you and go mad at you. And you know, everything was a struggle with him.
Yeah.
But I think we had a few nights where we played in the Faroe Island, and we got stuck there, stranded because of the fog and there. So we couldn't fly back after the game. We had won. So we all went out for the night, and I just remember being there and I'm thinking, is Roy Keane really going to come in? Because this is packed full of Irish people. He's a legend. They're going to be... Mm. He was walking in, the club, and everyone's doing it. He said, do that again and I'll knock you out. He's saying, rubbing his head, don't touch my head. I said, but Roy, they're going to do that.
Fans.
We're Irish, to his own fans, do that again, I'll knock you out. They said to the to the guy in Faroe Island, we don't really know no one. We want VIP. So we went up to, and the VIP was the worst little VIP ever, a little box. And then he was like, Clinton, I want you now to have a dance off with Stephen Elliott. And I was like, you want me to have a dance off?
He's Ron
like,
Keane's yeah. Just demanded that.
Demanded it.
Because I'll do it. You gotta do it.
Well, all the other lads is like, you can dance, Clinton. Let's have a dance off with this Stephen Elliott, who thought he was Vanilla Ice. So I said, let's have a go. I'll be MC Hammer, he'll be Vanilla Ice. So I said, play the tune. So they played the tune, I'm doing the dance. And then this is when I knew I got Roy Keane's scene of approval. He come over and he was like, yeah, you won that by a country mile. And then the whole club were up there and we were on top of the stage just doing back-to-back dancing. And I thought, you get involved, Roy. He said, there's absolutely no chance. He went back, sat down, drinking his Guinness. And that was the type of guy he was. But the best story ever about Roy Keane, and now everyone probably wants to do this and no one really likes to tell this story, but I don't care, I'll tell the story. So when we went to the World Cup,
I am
a brave man. He'll probably come and get me.
This is the one.
Might be the last interview I ever do, but I'll blame you, lot.
Yes, so this is the one where
he left the squad.
Exclusive.
Every player's dream is to go to the World Cup 2000.
This is going
to
make the papers. This is definitely going in.
So we're at the World Cup. So we're there. But 2 days before that, our kit don't come. So he's already losing his head because he likes things done properly. He was at Man United, everything was done properly. And he said, I'm not coming to the World Cup, Mick, unless things are done properly. But they didn't really like each other. And I'll get onto that with Mick and Roy. There was a thing that happened before I came in the squad about 8 years ago that they didn't really like each other. So there was a thing. I'll tell you that 8 years ago, Roy was a young boy, young then, and he was just coming into squad. Mick was captain. Mm-hmm. They were due with the Irish. You always go out the night before, and when he was due to
before
be
a match.
Before a match. But he was due to be on the coach at this time, and he was about 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
He didn't even say sorry; just rolled to the back. Mm. And Mick McCarthy had a pop at him. He had a pop at him. So I think from that day on, there was a lot of dislike for each other. But then, we're training. Our kit's not come. We're on the worst bobbly pitch. But if you'd waited 2 days, we went to this place called Chibo, which was the best facilities, and we were there for the whole of the World Cup.
Yeah.
But Roy being Roy lost his head. So we didn't have no kit. I remember training. Steve Finnan's gone over in a little pothole. The fire engine were basically there watering the pitch before. That's how rock hard it was. So Roy was not happy.
Yeah.
And then our kit didn't come. So the Mick's like, let's go down in our tracksuits and do a few stretches and a few... Well, he's like, are you having a laugh? So by then he's saying, he's got back to the hotel, I'm going home. So we've just got here, he's like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
So coaching staff have to tell him, no, you'll be all right. So he said, all right then. So all right, so we're having a sing. This is the best bit, because I play a big part in this. when I tell the story, it's brilliant. I tell it all the time. So we're walking along the beach. Me and Roy are walking along. We're on the beach, and he's saying to me, "Make sure you're at this World Cup, not to make the numbers. Be part of it. You want to play football."
I'm a bromance,
you're right. Yeah. If you look at the people in Ireland, they always got pictures, and I was the one that made him laugh, just because I was that type of character. Yeah. I don't care. I say it how it is. If you like me, I'm like Marmite. You either love me or you hate me. I hope you three love me after this. So it was one of those. So we were on the beach walking, and he was saying about it, and I was thinking, he's buzzing, he's in a good mood. So we go in and we have dinner. So we're dinner. So you're Roy Keane. Yeah, he's Roy Keane.
Don't touch me.
He's Roy Keane.
I'll knock you out.
I'm Steve Finnan. Yeah, and then that's where thing is, I'm sitting there. So I'm literally two away from him. So we're there.
Who can I be in this one?
You can be who was near us, Kevin Kilbane. So you're right there. Because you look like him, to be fair. You got the same Barney. Just a little comb over and then, So we're there and we're you have a sing song with Ireland. After you finish, you always have a sing song.
Yeah.
So I start with the Irish songs because I know all the Irish songs. Yeah, like, hey, I do, but I give it
MC Hammer.
Yeah, MC Hammer. So we're doing the Irish sing song, but Mick comes in. He didn't want anyone to do an interview about anything. So Roy's done an interview, just having a good old moan about things and everything. Yeah. And he didn't want that. Mick said, no one do interviews. And I think Mick, if he looks back at it now, probably could have handled the situation a bit different, because you don't confront Roy Keane, because Roy Keane is one of the most powerful men that you probably
especially in
football.
Front of everyone. Yeah.
So I said he should have probably have done it one-to-one. But we had some big players there like Niall Quinn, Steve Staunton, Shea Given. So there was big egos in there. Matty Holland, who, for another thing, I'll tell you something about him, because he made me laugh about it's a, something to do with that incident, but he makes me laugh because he was the biggest baby ever when Ray came back into the squad. But so Mick says to him, what are you doing? So I knew straight away, I could see Roy boiling. By this time, he's done the sing song. He's brilliant. He's buzzing. He's happy. Roy's doing the sing song.
What's he sing?
We're just singing Irish songs. Okay. I used to like, we're on the one world.
Run road.
See, he knows it. Kev knows it. See,
yeah.
So, there you go.
We're on the one road.
Maybe the one road.
We're on the road to God knows where.
So it was that. Yeah. So he had all those songs. See, Kev knows he's Irish.
You don't even know. You're an idiot.
I'm not Irish.
You've got some in you. So we're doing that, and then Mick goes to him. You shouldn't have done that. Roy steps up and argues and goes, well, what are you going to do about it? So they're arguing, and then Mick goes, well, you're bang out. And then Roy goes to him, well, you know, the problem, you're not even, he said, I'll tell you one thing, you're not even Irish, you're English. So I think all the English boys, me included, put our head on the table. Uh-oh, we shouldn't be here. So they're just throwing pure verbals at each other. Roy goes to him, I never rated you as a footballer. And he said, you had a shit first touch and you was a shit player and you're a shit manager. He said, I only have respect for one manager, and that's Sir Alex Ferguson. And, well, they've fallen out now. Yeah. That's what he said. So they were going on. And then
respect for that manager.
So he's like, you're a shit manager, you're a shit player. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm 21, I'm thinking, this guy's talking to the national manager here. We're at a World Cup. I said, this is a story. This is a story in the making. So obviously, he goes like that, they start walking to each other. Mick's a big guy. His nose is massive. So he's not, why they're walking to him, he's not, Mick's nose is probably over where Roy is, and they're about 20 yards away from each other.
You've got a shit first touch, you've got a massive nose.
Yeah, so.
Your breath thing's a shit.
I'm
so they
bang
come,
you out.
They come in and I'm thinking, nah. And then Mick kind of stops and goes, all right, then Ray goes, go on, make a decision. So, and then he goes, and I'm thinking, you're going to have to send him home here. Have to, but we need this guy. So he's going, go on, make a decision, big man. So he goes, off you go. So he says, go on, then go home. And then two days later, he's back in England, outside
walking
his home, walk his dog in his horrendous Deodora tracksuit. Yeah. So it was just horrendous. But the guy was just, it was an unbelievable story. And then even then, when he was home, Prime Minister, or the head of Ireland, tried to get him back, and they were close to getting him back, but the deadline had gone by because he wanted to come back.
Yeah.
But I think you can't speak to your manager like that. Once you speak to your manager like that, you've lost, I think, the respect, even though I respected him. But what made me laugh about Matt Holland is, as soon as he went, he started writing stuff in the paper, which he does do, as Matt does. He was a nice guy. Like, we were in the World Cup, and he'd always get his kids to come and knock my door to wake me up and let's go on a theme park. And I was like, what are you doing? He said, they like you, Clinton. And I was like, well, I'm not their dad, mate. You know what I mean? So let's not go there. So we go there, and then he wrote stuff about him, and then little did he know, Roy came back into the squad a year and a half later. Roy's coming back in the squad. Wouldn't go near him, wouldn't sit near him.
Oh,
if there was a seat here, Matt would be here. There'd be a seat there. Roy wouldn't even sit there, just pie him and It was just loads of stuff going. Even McAteer got involved. I think you like, might have seen when McAteer on the pitch about his book. Yeah, he got it sent off and he wrote that. I've read your book, because Reg, he don't care. Roy will slag off whoever's there. Still does it now
McAteer
as a pundit.
And McAteer's done it. They had an argument. He went, put it in your book.
Because he did all the prawn sandwich brigade stuff when he was still playing Man United.
McAteer is a spice boy anyway. He was always like that when we were in the Island squad. He would be on a night out. We'd be all together. He'd just go into the corner by himself. Really? I'm thinking, what are you doing? He probably wants people to look at him. I'm Jason McAteer. No one's looking at you, mate. No one. You ain't got that white suit on anymore.
Yeah, they're looking at you. You're standing next to Jamie Redknapp.
McAteer's playing snooker. He went 180.
Playing snooker. That is him. That's him. Call him Trigger.
I heard a story that like his family are a bit like that as well. When his mum washed one of his Ralph Lauren polo shirts, which at the back has a lower, at the back of it, it's got his lower in the front, and then she thought she'd done something with it, so chopped it off to level it up.
See what I mean? That wouldn't surprise me. That is probably how Jason is. Is a strange guy, insecure.
Did you not get on with him then?
I did get on with Jason. I did, but there were times where I just look at him and I think to myself, you're a bit sneaky. It was all about. He's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong, but it seemed like the squad. He was injured once, and we're at a World Cup. Someone else's opportunity. He was upset, but he made it sound like it was all about him. What about some of the other players who are not going to play? Who are not even here, but you're going to play. You're only missing one game, and he just made it all about him. Yeah. But he was that type of guy. But he did love himself.
Were there any players you didn't get on with at all, and you had rows with, or was you?
The only player I probably had a row with and in my playing against him is Danny Mills. He got me on a charge. He's just annoying. He was annoying. He just keep pinching me. And he trod he trod on my foot. So I've just grabbed him by his throat and just thrown him. But obviously you see me trying to hit him out, and we had to go to the FA. I think I got off it because I said couldn't really see much of me doing that. But he was one of those annoying ones who would give it on the pitch. But you know what? Mate, everyone probably hated me because I'm the most disliked man. I was the most annoying. I would give it the big one on the pitch. Yeah. And I'd always tell everyone, I see you in the tunnel. Yeah, I'm not going to see him in the tunnel because I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. But I said, and you know what I used to say? I used to say, all right, I'll see you outside. And they'd be like, yeah, what you got, your boys there? I said, I am. Look, they're all in the crowd. There'd be 8 or 9 of my boys there, all like that. I said, but I'm not really like that. Yeah. It was always me how I wanted to play up to the defenders to get in their ear. I'm not really that guy. I get portrayed as
a little bit almost before your time, because you are looking now at footballers. You weren't that flash compared to what they're like now. Popper and his hair.
I was on the pitches, I would give it massive time, and probably Kev would have played against Kev in stages, and he'd probably be the same. But I was always a mouthy one, but
opposite,
not in terms but he would have probably heard about his defenders. Giving it to his defenders, because I used to love giving it to the QPR because it was like a little bit of a rivalry.
We were jealous
of West London, as he says. But yeah, there weren't anyone I probably really disliked in football apart from probably Danny Mills down my head.
Anyone threaten you, like defenders?
Oh, I'd always get defenders threatening. Yeah.
Is there anyone who you was that petrified of, though? Like,
All right, so you know Big Darren Moore. You remember Big Darren Moore?
I got him sent off.
So he's like a he's a general giant, but he could be a bouncer.
He's that big.
He's like this. So the ball kept coming, and all I could hear, he's like, he's growling, I'm going to eat you. I was like, what? He's going to eat me. So they kept playing balls up to my head.
Chip it over your head.
I said, I wanted to feed your down the channel. He can't run. Play it to my feet. And he said, I'm going to eat you. It's dinner time. And I just thought to myself, I said to the other striker, play on this side for a bit. So I just went and played on the weaker centre. But I think as strikers, you sometimes do that.
I used to play against Darren Moore. I swear to God, you make a run, to turn and run, he'd just step in your way. He flattened me about five times.
Yeah.
But I might have Neil Ruddock. You know Neil Ruddock.
I played with Razor.
I played with him when I was 18, and he threatened to break my legs at Anfield. And I shit him. He said, see you just elbowed me. And I went, what? He went, you elbowed me. So what? What's he talking about? I'm running off him. So I'm running off. Come back again. And you haven't even fucking said sorry. What? Run off again. Next thing. See, the next time that ball comes into your feet, I'm going to break your fucking legs. I'm now shit myself. I'm 18. I'm like, what?
I'm
like, shit, the ball come up to me, I fucking jumped 4 foot in the air. You guys know, I just jumped and he come charging in. He then played for QPR, and he is nicest bloke
nicest
ever.
Nicest guy,
I went, Razor, do you remember the time we played? He went, no. I said, you threatened to break my legs. He went, did I? And I went, yeah. You fucking shitting yourself. I go, oh, that's fucking brilliant.
That's the type of guy he is. He came to Palace towards the end. And I don't drink, so I don't drink. But he had this nutter guy with him. He had the craziest guy with him who was from Scouts. And he looked mean. And we all went out as a team. And Razor went, you better have this shot. I went, I'm not having it. He's like, he looked at his mate. He went, his mate started walking towards me. I was like, uh-oh. He said, you're going to have this effing shot now, Claire. Oh, you're in massive trouble. So he just, I had to have a shot. I had to have a couple of shots. I had to have a drink. I was just there on the, I was there on the lamppost, just sat there. Pouring. I was drunk because I don't drink alcohol. But when Razor says something, he says something. Yeah. And what his like party trick was, we'd always be out. And he'd get his
balls out.
He said, I've got the biggest balls in football. And that's his best
story. We're
in
the
club. And he was like, look at these, Clint. These are the biggest balls in football. And I was like, no way. He just gets them out and he flops them out.
They are so big, aren't they?
They are massive.
I've never seen anything like it.
Ludo McCloskos. Oh, no.
Ludo McCloskos.
And you know what that is? The West Ham goal he was in QPR. Biggest balls in football. Massive like that.
How do you spell McCloskos?
I don't know how to spell that.
Oh, here we go. Did McCloskos used to get him out?
Or did you just see in the shower?
Oh my God. That made me laugh so much because I've not heard Ludo McCloskos make me laugh on its own. Yeah. And then the fact that you reminded me that he existed, and then he's got massive udder balls.
Massive
boots. It's not. He doesn't look like what you'd expect for a man with like the biggest balls in football.
No, he don't look.
He looks tired. He looks like he's got a lot on his back.
Not on his plate.
He looks like he's got the weight in the world.
He was strong.
What did he do?
I check. He gripped me because I used to take the piss out of his accent. Gripped me like that.
Oh, just grappled me
on the floor, and I couldn't move. I went, Ludo, can you please get off me now in training?
Yeah.
He went, yeah. But you stop your fucking nonsense. Basically, shut the fuck. I was his key. He used to come out and train and get in his days. Keepers! Keepers! Your balls are so big!
Brilliant.
Ludo McCloskos.
Back to the old school drinking, going out. I mean, one year, Ruddock turned up on loan and Vinnie Jones at the same time. And we had Ian Dowie as well.
Wow.
Right. Was Dowie a big drinker?
So we went out, and if you were like 20 minutes late, right, you've got to drink these. Yeah, no, man. Drink them. Hold on a minute. Just got it. No, you're not moving until you drink these. They make you drink.
It's like, to catch up.
Yeah. You've got to catch up.
What I find weird about that proper like football lads type thing is they're a bit like, we're crazy, we're mental. But when it comes to drinking and lateness, they're such stickler for rules. Yeah. 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 Drink that now. Yeah, you're 15 minutes out of freezing. You've got to catch up. And you're drinking and it's left hand only and then shots through the eye. And if you don't do that, you've got to eat a spoon, okay? They're the rules. All right, mate. Why is it so stressful?
When we were drinking
late for a night out.
You are late for a night, you're in trouble.
You've got to drink. Trouble. You find, well, that's a fine, and someone will be noting it.
If you're late, it's better enough just not turning up at all and just taking the fine because you're going to have to drink and you're going to be finished. He was a comedian.
We get fines at Milton Keynes. Paul Lynch would fine you if you didn't go out.
Really?
Yeah. Which is the opposite of like.
He's a bit crazy. I only Paul Lynch.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You didn't go out on Tuesday night. No, gaffer. Right, that's 100 quid. What? Might as well went. Spent 100
quid. With Ireland, we were always out. You just wanted to go out.
What about Steve Staughton? He looks very serious.
See, he is a serious guy. See, it's a bit hard with here because I can be a bit serious here with this one because never really told anyone this, but I will tell everyone this. He was on loan with us at Palace. He's a serious guy. Tremendous footballer.
Great left foot.
He scored one of the best goals I've ever seen at Palace from inside our half. Goalie miskicked it and he just put it back over. But he was a great player. He was a great guy. Got on really well, really, really well with him. And he was one of the big drinkers. Loved the drink. Always. Yeah. But loved the drink. But what made me love is Kenny Cunningham, who didn't drink, was the one who used to organise all the nights out and wanted to go out. And he was the one, who wanted to go out and organise all the nights out, but never drunk. So I used to think, how does that work? But I just think he used to like people watching. So he was one of those who used to like
seeing them being there. Look at those idiots.
Yeah, look at those clowns. And that's what I do, innit? I'm just there, the sober one, thinking, oh, do you remember what happened in the morning? Do you remember?
I just batter them and make notes and film it now.
But so he got the manager's job at Ireland. And I respect him. And he said, I was in with him loads. And he was like, I'm just going to play some of the youngsters. And you'll be back in. And back then, I was scoring goals for fun. scoring in the Championship week in, week out, and everyone, and for Ireland. My record for Ireland was reasonably really good. So I was, and then he never really put me back in. He didn't really explain. And he's the one who really ended my Ireland career, where a lot of people said I should have got more caps.
Well done. Oh, but, well done. That was well.
This is not when I mentioned David Pleat to our cricket.
So this, no, so this is the guy, like, if no one ever noticed, but I'm a bit. Yeah,
he's
I don't hold grudges over him, though. Yeah. I still speak to him, but deep down, that hurt me. It left a sour taste in my mouth.
Do you think it's because, did you find that? Because you obviously wasn't as Irish as some of the other people in it. Listen, you find there was favouritism?
Hey, there was a... he's spot on.
Thank
you. Well done, high five.
You know what? He's
better, Rob, better.
You
better.
You're getting it back up, and that's why. Ian?
Yeah.
Have you got an international goals quiz for Clinton?
Well, we've got a quiz. To win a prize, Clinton, can you name the 9 countries that you scored international goals against?
You're throwing it on me there.
Can you get them all?
Croatia.
Where's this pen? Yes. Right. Second. Yes. Let me get them
off. That was on my debut. Oh.
Yeah.
That must have felt good.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I kissed the badge straight away. I had to. I kissed the badge and ran there. They were thinking, who is this guy? Israel. Yep, definitely on a byline, left foot volley. I remember that. Scotland.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you got to get that one.
Australia.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, did I score against China? Yeah, China.
Yeah.
How many is that now I've got?
How many? You've got four more.
Denmark.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm on fire here. I'm struggling now. Yeah. Russia.
Yes.
Away at Russia. That's when I did get the old monkey chance there, and it worked nice.
Oh, wow.
Russia.
It worked nice.
But we were losing, so I couldn't really go over to them and go like that. Which I wanted to.
Scary place, Russia, isn't it?
Scary.
Oh, God.
I said Scotland, didn't I? I said that. Yeah. So I've got 7, have I? Two more.
Yeah.
Who have I got?
To one on holiday.
Well done. Well,
there's a few there. Yeah.
You go to an holiday. What, like Croatia, Denmark, Russia, Scotland, or Australia?
Iceland.
Clocks.
No, I ain't scoring against them.
Clocks, tax havens.
Hold on, there's 2 of them.
Banking.
Give me a couple of European countries.
Yeah, but I know it weren't. No, it was never Italy or any of those. European, they were. No, it weren't Portugal, because 100% I know it weren't.
Where can you go to get yourself legally killed?
Oh, I don't know.
Down a road, mate.
No one else knows.
Certain parts of West Norway.
When you're old,
I'm struggling.
You've got to go over to...
I know one.
Yeah.
San Marino.
No.
San Marino. No, Cyprus.
Yes.
Sorry, I got it. That's why I knew it was one of them. Yeah, that's the one on holiday. I got some... No stories on Iron Up, and I can't be on there. I'll get in trouble.
Where you get Toblerone from.
Toblerone, the mountains.
This is before you get...
I remember this. Ball comes in, Duff crosses it, head up, Roy King comes and celebrates. Switzerland.
Yes!
You won the cake.
And you've won.
Where you go legally to get
from
murdered.
Morrison's.
Oh, yes.
A magic sponge chocolate cake.
Wow.
From Clinton Morrison's.
And that is all red. All the, diet.
Yes. Oh, no, saying there's an orange one there. Come on.
The salt.
Salt.
How's
it orange for
salt?
It's getting big anyway, so I'm not bothered.
There's a fair bit of salt in there, but not a lot.
You can have that later, mate. Take it home.
If you want something, tell me, lads. I'll share and share.
I love that quiz. That was great.
There's a lot of tension there. There's excitement.
I couldn't get that wrong. The two I was struggling.
I think that quiz was helped with Jimmy not being here going, your quiz is a shit, mate.
Oh, he's got the ump because he's getting relegated, I think. One win in 9, isn't it?
He's under pressure.
That's
isn't
big pressure.
That is big pressure, isn't it? He's got the Metropolitan Police next week.
Any level of any football. That's not good enough.
Is it? But what happens when they get relegated? They have to play on a Sunday.
Hackney Marshals.
He won't listen to this, will he?
He won't like it, will he?
He has to pay subs. On Monday night, I think the goals is right down his road anyway, so it's not too far from him to get through.
5-0.
He'll be devil.
Monkey Rush keeper, yeah?
When he was tweeting that he got the job, before he was Mr. Mourinho. Now he's struggling.
He'll do it right. Good luck, Jim.
Turn it round.
Do we know why he's actually not here, Joel? He's
meeting the chairman.
He's doing Sky Soccer AM. He's doing soccer.
They've got minus three points for fielding an ineligible player as well.
Oh, he's David Pleat.
He's having a nightmare.
He's having a nightmare.
Who played? An amateur.
I don't know. And maybe he went on.
Also, this is about Ian. Is about you want to talk about Kenan's mum?
There's a few story about.
Oh, there is a few. I know.
Yeah, we're not discussing those ones.
No, discuss those ones. She will be here in a minute. She's only over the bridge.
She sounds amazing. So apparently. She got your transfer secured with Steve Bruce, and then she had a go at Rufus Brevet.
I don't even like this story.
Rufus. Yeah, it's not good.
Ex-teammate.
This is brilliant. No, she did get me. Steve Bruce he had me at Palace, then he went to Birmingham, and they just got promoted. He said he wanted to sign me, and I was on to him like, any danger? But he wanted to take time because he had put bids in, and Palace didn't want to let me go.
Yeah.
So mum being mum was like, I was stressing at home. Mum's just rang him and said, any danger? You signing my son? She's like, yeah, calm down. It's going to be done in the next 2 days. And within the 2 days, it was done. So she just basically forced through it. But the problem is she done all that hard work, and the agent took all the money, didn't he? He didn't even give her a drink or anything. That's why I can't stand agents at the moment, even though I might get into it one day because a lot of money to
you. You'd be a good agent. You know the game. You're good with people.
I'd be hustling. I'd get my money. I don't care about the player. But Rufus Brevet, I spoke about this the other day. We're all right now, but it was tension. You know, when you're on the pitch, you have a bit of banter and stuff like that. So
was he on the other team or on your
team?
Yeah,
he was on the other team. Yeah. We played QPR. It was actually at Loftus Road.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of banter. Maybe I stepped over the mark with remarks I made about him. I can't even remember back then, but obviously
shit air.
Probably
big nose.
His name was Gonzo.
Oh, was it? Brevet. I don't even remember his nose.
Alan McDonald, God rest his soul, I slaughtered him every day about his nose 100 times a day.
Really?
He'd go up to him and give it Gonzo.
I didn't even realise
really highbrow stuff.
I never noticed it, but when Kevin's saying, I didn't even get that close.
Constantly, all day, every day. We went to Italy. I got to say, we went to Italy and we were in the mountains and we had to get a coach up to the training pitch. And every time we turn round the corner, the coach driver would go, like 10 times going up, 10 times going down, 3 times a day. Macca, turn round.
Oh, and we're just giving it. Coming around
In case someone's coming around, he'd go, Macca would just turn around. Big nose.
Every time,
I'd lose my head in the end.
Gonzo!
You'd have to lose your head. We were laughing, but it was.
Didn't Rufus Brevet do anything about it?
He was just getting out bantered. It's one of those.
You can't do nothing. It's 2 minutes.
It's too much because everyone's just cracking.
It's crazy.
It was legendary.
No, but so we went into the. Sorry. He still wanted to continue it in the players, and I thought it's gone. When you have banter on the pitch, it's usually finished. Got into the players' lounge upstairs. So we're all in there. We're all in there. You know, the MC Harvey, So Solid crew, obviously. You know him. I'm talking about Harvey. So he's in there because he's a friend.
I'm aware of garage music from 15 years ago.
There you go. 21 seconds. Sean Davis is a good friend.
Oxide Neutrino.
There you go. You know
DJ Lack and MC Neat. Yeah. Shandy.
So we're all in there and he's there. Obviously, he's came over and then he's obviously over me and he's got like a hot tea over him. He's like, what are you saying? I'm like, I'm just trying to leave it thinking, diffuse it. I'm not really a fighter. I'm a lover, so I'm not really involved in it. So I'm there like that, and he's over me. But all my friends are around, and everyone's like, so my mum comes from nowhere. She's obviously seen what's going on. You better stand up, boy. I don't bring you up to sit down. Stand up and front him out. So I've had to stand up, and I was there in his face arguing with him. Because I didn't think we were in a players' lounge, so there's a lot of people around.
I like how your mum's like encouraging you.
Yeah,
like,
she said basically, well, you stand up because he's got the hot thing of him. You don't know what he's going to do. He's come and confronted me and wanted to continue in. But it wasn't a mum then that did anything. It was a sister who's a bit of a she will knock guys out. She don't care about
your sister.
Yeah, so obviously he came across. So she flew
a number.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. she flew over and like basically pushed him out of the way. Oh. And then it's like a big free fall and all the bouncers and everyone's joining. Harvey's they've all joined in and then
the players
now. Yeah, in the players now. So we got obviously
been at the bar.
We got banned for it. Opposition players weren't allowed in there because of me. And I remember Van der Sar was there shaking his head. I don't like those sort of things to happen because it makes me be portrayed as the bad guy. But obviously, if he's going to come in my face, it was my sister. She just saw the red mist and thought, I'm defending, and just launched across him. But ever since then, it's fine. Like, this happened years and years ago. It's one of those things. But just,
yeah, little heat the
it kind of blew up. But yeah, if I was the hothead that I was, then it could have been
worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about Robbie Savage at Birmingham? You got some stories about
him. This guy's a comedian. Listen, I get on with Sav. Savage, me and him got the same sort of banter, yeah?
Yeah.
So, but the first time I ever went there... What Savage likes to do is the most insecure man in the world. Very insecure.
He's got an Armani
tattoo. That's what I was going to say. So listen, I'm coming there, I've signed there, and I'm look, and then he's getting changed next to me. So I look next to me. I said to one of the lads, hold on. Sav, turn around. He's got the skinniest body ever. There's no muscle. His body's like an ironing board. It's just like that, flat as a pancake. He's got a woman's body, basically. I look, his arm, he's got an Armani tattoo. I absolutely grill him. That is horrendous. Where did you get that done? But Giorgio did it. He said, I'm sponsored. I said, there's no chance you're sponsored by Armani. And it looked like it was wonky and it was upside down anyway. So he had that. We used to hammer him. But he was so insecure. He'd need to know the night before if he's playing. So he'd always want their assistant manager. He'd always ring him up and say, am I playing? He needed to know. He'd tell you this himself because he's just a funny lad. And he wanted number 8. So he had a Range Rover, and in Range Rover, he had number 8 in the headrest. Yeah. He had a suit with number 8 on his suit. Just classy, to prove that's classy. And he had, you know what, I kept them little fake Diamantes. I'd rather it be proper diamonds.
I'll say the fake diamonds.
Fake Diamantes. So it's fake Diamantes. I'm thinking, put some real diamonds in with all the money you got. But his best thing was, on the pitch, he would always, like, if he's playing against someone, he'd always say to someone, have someone off saying, you're just a skint, C-U-N-T. So he'd always say skint. One day he was doing it, and he did it to the centre half, Mark Fish. I said, Fish has been at Lazio, mate, and other clubs. He's not skint, Sav. So stop going on about the money that you've got and stuff like that. He's got as much money as you.
Yeah.
I remember him once, the goalie had a beast on the Saturday. He had a beast, Nico Vassen had a beast. Yeah. His kicking was all over the shop. And Steve Bruce was having a go at him saying, the kicking's shocking and stuff like that. So you just leave it. He's had a beast on a Saturday. We come in Monday, leave him. Sav comes in and goes, oh, Nico's kicking the ball. Where should we set him? Should we set on this side, that side? So them two just started having a fight. Yeah. I tell you, it was the worst fight I've ever seen by a professional. Like both two skinny people, and they were like, you hit me like fairy slaps.
Yeah.
I'm like, just give someone a punch and knock him out. But it was two ladies fighting each other, basically. So I've won a fight.
Yeah, what they needed was their mum and sister there.
And a handbag. Yeah, like that.
Have you seen any good fights between players at training
ground? I've seen a few fights. I've seen at Sheffield Wednesday, we had a guy, Reader Johnson. He was massive. And John Assemble, he was even bigger, a Scouse lad.
Yeah.
And the two boys started to throw big haymakers at each other. And then someone said, hey, Clinton, are you going to stop that? I said, hell no, I'm sitting there watching that. I said, get me my popcorn. I'm going to be sitting there because they're two big lads. And in the end, it got stopped. And then one of the lads is like, I'm waiting in my car. I'm going to wait in my car for him and I'm going to do him when he comes out of the training ground. And it got so serious like that, I was thinking, nah, but in the end, it got squashed and it was all right. But me personally, I should have been battered by it. I
used to wind up
Chris Coleman, Ruddock, they would all want to batter me, but I'd get on.
Coleman as well?
Yeah, Chris Coleman.
He fancied himself.
Listen, Cookie could handle himself. His fights, he had the biggest fights I've ever seen in football. His fight, one fight was bigger than my whole body.
Really? A fight that would suit Ludo Mokrosko's balls?
It would fit the balls brilliantly. Unbelievable. I think it'd be a perfect match.
Did you have a chant? Have you written a chant?
I'm working on it now.
I hope it's a good one, because I've just got boring ones in my career. This could be the best one.
I'm fucking nailing this.
It's really going for it.
I bet you're not.
I am, mate.
You got anything else you want to share with us? Anything happened recently apart from stories we're not allowed to publish about managers doing dodgy stuff?
Doing dodgy stuff. There is loads of that.
Do you still meet up with old players for drinks? When you was playing with them, like...
I played football the other day, actually.
Did you?
On Sunday, yes.
Who for?
For my old school, like a veteran team.
Oh, okay.
Old Vaughan's. Yeah. We played in Finchley on a Sunday. Not a Saturday.
No.
Sunday. We lost 3-2.
How did you get on?
Pulled my hamstring after 20. Carried on.
Yeah.
And as I was walking here today... My knee's gone, my back's gone, my shoulder's gone, my Achilles is tight.
What have you done?
Yeah.
I just absolutely ruined
it.
It was Thursday. It's Thursday now. That was on Sunday.
Are you playing again?
Not the way I feel, no. I feel I'm going to just ring the manager. Don't ask me, please. It's just a disaster. It's a great laugh afterwards. It's frustrating.
What was the other level
it's
of
so
people
frustrating.
There? Did your school, was it just general blokes?
Just old blokes, veterans.
So, but you were professional.
Yeah, but you should have seen the pitch. It was a leveller.
That's what meant. Yeah, because you're
up. Yeah. You're here, though, of us.
Hey!
It's going to end on a sad note.
Ian, have you got your chant? And we'll finish
right,
with the chant.
Let me tell you
this will be a sad
let
note.
Let me tell you the lyrics. No, this is. I'm happy with this. Some of the rhymes I've done. I don't know if you can read that.
I did a beatbox.
Okay. Clinton Morrison, as Irish as they come. Don't mess with him, he's going to call his mum. You think his mum's hard, you got to see your sister. Clinton scored Michael Owen with a mister!
That's it, I'm happy with that. Yeah, right. Thank you so much for coming on. You've been brilliant.
No worries,
thank much,
thanks
mate.
For
cheers.
Having me.
Top and thanks for cheers. Listening as well. And Kev Gallen, thank you very much. Bit of fist on you, mate.
Yeah, cheers, top man, Rob.
No worries, thanks for coming in. And also, just tweet your favourite chants and any questions to Dave Magic Sponge on Twitter or hashtag Magic Sponge. And yeah, keep downloading it. Get your mates to download it. And just tell, because a lot of people don't even know what podcasts are. Need a lot of my mates. Right, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week. Bye. The Magic Sponge is a .. production for Dave, hosted by Rob Beckett, Jimmy Bullard and Ian Smith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got 6 comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.